I always like to start the homily with a couple of thoughts to inspire you. And the first one is this: we cannot help conforming ourselves to what we love. And the second, we can do no great things, only small things with great love. As always, and I truly mean this, it's so good to be with you, particularly as we now begin our journey together through the 40 days of Lent. Here's an interesting fact about Lent. Have you ever wondered how the 40 days are calculated? Well, it's called the Lenten Feast, and it's not to be confused with the liturgical period of Lent. Catholics have everything figured out, so you don't have to worry about that. But the Lenten Feast, it starts on Ash Wednesday, and it ends exactly 46 days later. Every year, that's the way it works, on Holy Saturday. But if you get your calculator out, 46 and 40, you have 6 extra days. So how does that make up 40 days of Lent? Well, here's the answer. The Sundays that are within, the 6 Sundays that are within the period are not considered to be fast days, but they are considered to be feast days. Holy days of obligation are always days of feasting. And something else that's very unique about Lent this year is that it also includes tax day on April the 15th. Last year it was Valentine's Day, and now, boy, look what we get this year, tax day. But as I was thinking about what to give up for Lent, I was wondering if the government would allow us to fast from paying taxes on the 2018 tax year. Do you think they would? Well, probably not, but it's worth a try. So in this morning's gospel reading, we find Jesus wandering in what is called the Judean desert. And having been recently baptized in the Jordan River, which is a part of the Judean desert, Jesus now begins to withdraw into the inner regions of the area, meaning like the places that are primarily made up of rock cliffs, barren mountains, and jagged canyons. But please note this for your information. This desert is not to be confused with the Mojave Desert, where the little town of Las Vegas is located, okay? It's not that kind of desert. So on this first Sunday in Lent, the church has chosen us, you and I, to accompany Jesus on his desert journey. Why? Because it is now our journey. It's our own journey. And the church teaches us that Jesus' experience, it serves as the pattern for all Lenten observances. And you'll hear that in a moment. Listen for it when we pray the Eucharistic prayer. It says that specifically. So what I want us to do this morning in our remaining time is to explore the Lenten observance, meaning why Lent is important, how to navigate through Lent, and then what to pack in terms of a Lent survival kit, those three things. The first pattern in Lenten observance is that it is a desert experience. And since it is a desert that Jesus was wandering in, it has to be comparable to a physical desert environment, meaning that the place is very arid, that there is trace precipitation, and there's scarce plant, water, and animal life there. The reality is there's just not a lot in the desert. But from a spiritual perspective, that's really important. That's the main point, as a matter of fact. Because as we wander in the desert, as we wander into our own personal inner desert regions, what happens is we are freed up from those things that easily distract us so that we can really focus on what matters in life, and what matters in life is God. So that's why during Lent, we are often asked the question, what are you giving up? Do you know what you're giving up yet? Well, when we give something up, we are denied of these comforts or consolations, as they're called in the scriptures. These things which cause us to, it sort of numbs or dulls our ability to sense and to see God in other things. We even have a word for, a phrase for it today. It's a great marketing phrase for fast food. It's called comfort food, right? Have you heard that? Well, it's to make you feel good. But that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to remove those types of consolations in the desert in order that we can see the soul can look for something else to satisfy it vis-a-vis God. And so we, like David, see David, he also wandered through the Judean desert in the Old Testament. We, like him, as we heard in the 63rd Psalm, we cry out these words, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." As someone said, truly, the desert is the theater of the human struggle of searching for God. It's what it is. But here's something exciting, amazingly, but it's really not surprising at all. What we find is what we're looking for, and that is God. That's exactly why we're in the desert. Someone wrote this. They said that the desert doesn't mean the absence of people, but it means the presence of God. Have you ever thought about the experience in those terms? Here's an interesting fact, and I love, you know, I love the saints. I've never read the story of a saint who regretted the times when they wandered through the spiritual desert. Never regretted it. I've read many stories where they said, "Lord, send me through more deserts." Why would that be? It would be so because they found what they were looking for. They found the love of their life, which is God. So it's a desert kind of experience. The second pattern is that we hear right in that first sentence of the gospel, being led by the Holy Spirit into the spiritual desert. Now, although we may not like it at first, particularly, the Holy Spirit leads us into the spiritual desert for a period of intensified and accelerated learning about God in His ways. Now, sometimes we don't want to go in the desert. We sort of enter into it kicking and screaming, so to speak, based upon our circumstances. But sometimes we enter willingly. And Lent, what we're in now, would be best described as a willing occasion. It's one where we accept the invitation to go in. And there are several illustrations of entering the desert that are expressed in the Bible. But the one that stands out the most, and you'll hear it through Lent, is to put on sackcloth. Have you ever heard those words? Put on sackcloth. A perfect example of this is found in the first chapter of Joel. Listen to what Joel says. He's calling the people to repentance. He says, "Put on sackcloth, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord." Let me explain this just a little further, because you'll see where I'm going with it in just a second. To willingly enter into the spiritual desert experience in Old Testament times, what the people would do is they would exchange their garments of silk or cotton for something that was much coarser, like burlap. Now, I seriously doubt that anybody's wearing burlap today. Anybody here? I seriously doubt it. No, that wouldn't be the case. Why? Because it's uncomfortable. But have you ever heard of a burlap sack? You ever heard of one of them? Well, I sure have. Well, guess what? That is called sackcloth. So the cloth that the sack is made of is called burlap. So it's sackcloth. And while putting on sackcloth is an uncommon practice today, that's to be sure, we are called during Lent to give something up in order to make more room for God in our lives. Let me give you a few examples to consider, because maybe you haven't done that yet. This comes from a study of 73,000 tweets in the year 2018, where the question was asked, "What are you giving up for Lent?" And the responses are based upon the number of responses for that one particular thing. Number one thing, giving up social networking. The second one, Twitter. The third one, alcohol. The fourth one, chocolate. The fifth, cussing. And the sixth, meat. Although potato chips got really close to beating meat out this past year. But interestingly, they've been doing this study for 9 years, and it's always the same. Now, they change in terms of priority, but it's always the same ones. Now, Catholics, we love Lent. So 2 out of 3 Catholics will celebrate Lent. Catholics like to give up meat and chocolate. Those are the two things that they like to give up. But here's a few more things to consider to give up for Lent that come from the Dynamic Catholic website, Matthew Kelly's website. Stop complaining, spend time in the classroom of silence, and refrain from judging. So there's at least 9 things for you to consider this morning to be a part of your Lenten observance. The third observance is that we need to take a Lent survival kit with us. Through the wisdom, the great wisdom of the scriptures and the instruction of the church, especially through the great doctors of the church, there's only 26 of them in the church, but you know St. Albert is one of them. Through their wisdom, we are offered recommendations on what we need as we go through the desert. Let me share a couple of those with you. Read Lenten reflection books. That's a really good one. What did Jesus do? I love to read this gospel story because remember, every time that Satan tempted him, what did he do? He retorted with the scriptures, didn't he? He responded with the word of God. See, the word of God was in his heart. And when he was tempted, he had the word to strengthen him. What did he say to Satan? 3 times he says, "It is written. It is written. You know, don't mess with me, okay?" I would strongly recommend for you this morning to take one of our Lenten packs. We're almost out of them, but there are some, but they're great packets because they give you scripture, they give you lives of the saints, they give you all kinds of to think about as you go through this Lenten reflection. The second thing is to receive the Eucharist at least weekly. Now, when I think of the desert experience, I am immediately drawn. My mind goes immediately to the 40 years when the Israelites wandered in the desert. But something beautiful happened during that time. It was during that time that God fed them directly. I mean, there wasn't anything to eat out there, right? So God fed them directly with manna or bread from heaven. Now, some people say it just came out of the trees, you know, sort of a mist out of the trees. I can't imagine feeding 1 million people a day with a mist out of the trees wandering all over the Sinai Desert. That makes no sense. God literally fed them directly. And as we find Jesus proclaiming in the Gospels, the new manna, the new bread from heaven by which God feeds us directly is the body and blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we need that food. We need that nourishment when we walk in the desert. Another one is to receive the encouragement of the parish community. Now, when I think about the story, my mind immediately, it's not in this account, but in another one, I go back to the idea that after Jesus is tempted, the angels come and minister to him. They come and take care of him. You know, we have some of the greatest angels in the world at St. Albert the Great Parish. Now, they're not packing a pair of wings this morning, but they are sitting out here in your midst. And I call them angels. That's because that's exactly what they are. And we need angels. We need people who are great encouragers as we go through this life. So as we gather together this morning, remember that you're in the presence of great angels in our midst. Another thing is to fast, perform acts of charity, pray, participate in the Stations of the Cross, and receive the sacrament of reconciliation. But since a lot more of that's sort of the traditional stuff that we look at during Lent, there's a lot more will be said about that in the coming weeks. We'll reserve that until those homilies come around. The final pattern of Lenten observance is that we make room for whatever God wants us to receive. This is critical if you want to grow in your faith. See, when you go through a desert, a spiritual desert, God has a specific purpose in mind for you because each one of you has a wonderful destiny that is planned and prepared for by God. So think about this. Did you know that participating in Lent 2019 is a part of God's plan for your life? And if you choose not to, you're going to miss out on the many wonderful things that God has in store for you, and they are great. Let me share just a couple of quick potential outcomes that take place when we make room for what God wants to give us. One is spiritual preparation for a greater mission. This is always a big one. Saints write about this one a lot too. This is the example that we have today of Jesus being tempted in the desert, right, by Satan. What it did is the temptation, it bolstered his resolve, because this wasn't his greatest temptation. His greatest temptation, when it was, I got to climb on this cross and die for your sins. Now that was his greatest temptation. That was his most vulnerable moment. But through this desert experience, God is teaching Jesus to have resolve, because Satan is going to return, what does it say in the scriptures, at an opportune time. And that would be the opportune time. Another thing that God does for us is builds our character. Our Lenten experience, it helps us to grow in character, good ways, such as perseverance, forgiveness, mercy, courage, healing, and righteousness. And then another one of the big things is to develop a deeper, abiding trust in God. Many of us today, and I hear this often, we're so attached to the feeling of God. And when we say, I don't feel God, there's something, we immediately think there's something wrong. Well, that's not true. That really is not true. God is not a feeling. God is God. And so in times when we don't feel the consolation of God, those are some of the greatest times when God is with us. But what is God doing? He's teaching us not to be dependent upon a good feeling, but he's teaching us just to flat out trust him no matter what it is that we go through in life. Those are just a few potential outcomes. I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection this morning. The message hashtag is experiencing Lent. I can't overemphasize this point, that this Lent is part of God's destiny for your life. And now, being already 5 days into Lent, what have you done to prepare and to enter into this Lenten experience? Don't let this opportunity pass you by. And the second one is this. Someone wrote, what a great favor God does to those whom he places in the company of good people. We need each other during Lent, and you're in the company of good people here. This is a great parish. So if you don't belong to a parish community, I would strongly encourage you to become part of the St. Albert the Great family. We would love to have you. And there's new member forms that are at the kiosk, or you can call the office or go online. But the important thing is community, belongingness with people who care. God bless all of you.